And I think in CrossFit, there's so many different components of fitness that you have to understand that you are going to be exposed in those areas. And that's what the test is for. The test is meant to break you. It's meant to find.
What is going on, fam? We are back, baby. And we're kicking it off with none other than Scott Panchik of CrossFit Mentality. Before we get to Scott, I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and we are the Uncharted Performance Podcast, aka the Lollapalooza of strength, fitness, movement, and self-development. Our goal, as always, is to learn and apply from the best and brightest by dissecting and deconstructing their personal journeys and accumulate a wealth and experience to elevate your and our performance inside and outside of the confines of the gym, weight room, CrossFit box, wherever you train to become fucking awesome. A few shout-outs are in order. First, to you, our listeners and audience, and to those kind enough to take a moment to leave a rating and review. From at Otters Rock, with a diverse guest list and relaxed vibe, Uncharted Performance manages to be both technically informative and warmly personal. Awesome work, exclamation point. And from at j2fit.com, the casual conversations turn into compelling discussions, making you feel as if you're sitting there with them. Great, great podcast. And it's actually a wonderful idea, something we might do in the future. If you also enjoy the podcast, please take a second to rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whichever podcast listening platform you rock out on. It makes us feel pretty good about ourselves, but also, and more importantly, sheds more light on our awesome guests on the interwebs. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever you are catching the show. And if you ever have a guest in mind or any other feedback for us, definitely let us know. Shoot us an email, direct message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. A quick thank you to our good friend Chad Teague of Code Cairo. Make sure to check out our archives for that episode for bringing Scott and us together to make this episode happen. With the warm-up out of the way, the main event. If you have been living under a rock, Scott Panchik is a very familiar face in the CrossFit community, qualifying for every CrossFit game since 2012 and finishing this past year just under 10 points from this year's podium. He is the epitome of consistency, dedication, and professionalism, but where does that all come from? Our awesome conversation centers around the themes of family, building strong relationships, community, and sacrifice. Scott will be the first to tell you that much of his success can be attributed to his wife, his parents, and younger brothers. What role do they actually play, and how have they helped Scott develop and evolve are covered in our conversation. He's a tremendously driven and generous individual outside of CrossFit as well, and gives much of himself as a teacher to grow and build his community at CrossFit Mentality. We dive into the process of starting a business, what the community means to him, and at the same time remaining a competitive athlete. And of course, we discuss what it takes to make the games multiple times over, breaking down Scott's training approach and mentality, pun intended, reflecting back and looking forward to next year and what the future holds for Scott, his family, and CrossFit Mentality. And if you are free the weekend of December 2nd, make sure to come on and visit us here in awesome Cleveland. We'll make sure it's not too cold for the Rogue Winter Classic in association with CrossFit, featuring Scott and some super friends, including former CrossFit Games champ Ben Smith, 3 times CrossFit Games athlete Brooke Wells, Alex Smith, and Jen Smith, just to name drop a few. Mark that on your calendar, folks, and come on up, come on down, wherever you are. Enjoy the episode, friends. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have traveled far and wide up to Mentor. We are back at CrossFit Mentality. We are here with Scott Panchik. Scott, thank you very much for having us.
Excited to be here.
Shout out to a good friend of ours, my doctor, your friend and doctor.
And doctor, yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
The Dr. Chad Teague of Code Cairo. He made the connection. I think we met each other here and there too, but he kind of made it happen. So, our schedule's finally lined up, probably more so yours than ours, but thank you for fitting us in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are a graduate of Mount Union.
Yes.
And we're actually just talking about this right before we started recording, but so is Chad. And then another past guest of ours is Coach Gildersleeve down in down south of us here. What is the water? What's in the water at Mount Union?
Excellent.
Excellent.
It's like Mount Union's just been known to have great athletes and I think even better people. Okay. And when I went to school there, it was just something that people took very seriously. I mean, they worked hard in everything they did, whether it was sports, academics, friendships. I think it's just the type of person that comes out of there. They're not afraid to work hard and they'll do whatever it takes to chase their dream.
Okay. I get that vibe from all three of you.
Yeah.
It's pretty evident if especially if you know Matt and Chad. I guess you're a little bit more well known than those two guys, depending on what circles you're in.
Yeah.
But I think that speaks volumes that you see that on social media or whatever, that it speaks for itself. This is going to be the hardest question of the podcast, but who is the best looking Panchik brother?
Of course, it's going to be me. Otherwise, it'd be really weird for me to call one of my brothers. He's way, way better looking than me.
Is there anything that they've taught you, and CrossFit related or otherwise, about you or training or anything like that?
Honestly, they've taught me a lot about just growing up and being a man, and taking on different roles working with them on a regular basis, from not just their brother, but their coach, their training partners. We just work well with each other in life, and they push me to be better in the gym and outside of the gym. And you know, that's something I'm extremely grateful for, because you know, growing up in a big family, it is competitive. Mm-hmm. And when we were younger, you know, you kind of see things more as competition. I want to be better than my mm-hmm. brother. But when they came out here and we slowly started working together every year, I felt like we got closer, and mm-hmm. it was less about competition. It was more about making each other better.
Okay. Speaking of making each other better, is there anything that they're better than you at?
Yeah, there are. Both Saxon and Spencer are extraordinary athletes, mm-hmm. and we all have strengths and weaknesses in different areas. We're very similar in a sense of CrossFit, and that's just because we train together on a regular basis. But I think our athletic backgrounds have played a little role in some of those strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. They were both basketball players, so jumping's always been a problem for me. I don't even think I can touch rim. I'd like to be able to. And, you know, those guys can jump. They're great at box jumps. They're great at double unders. Saxon's an extraordinary runner. Spencer's extremely strong. So having that day in and day out where any one of us could win a workout at any point, that pushes us all to be better. And I truly think that's the biggest reason I'm still competing to this day, is that I have those people around me. And, you know, having people that are pushing you and not letting you settle for anything but your best, it's important, especially in CrossFit with the way it's evolving.
Okay. How old are your brothers now?
21.
21. Okay. When do you think they will spread their wings, so to speak?
Saxon was really close this past year.
Okay.
He took sixth at the CrossFit Regionals, which was he took seventh.
Okay.
So the top five go. Mm-hmm. So he was a couple places shy of doing that. Spencer went as a member of our team. And sometimes it just comes down to programming. We don't want it to come down to that, obviously, because we want to be as well-rounded as we possibly can. But sometimes it just depends on, you know, what comes out of the hopper, so to speak. And I think they're still growing and developing. They move weight like men, but they still are very young looking. They act like adults, but again, they're still very young. And I think it's just it's a waiting game. They're still growing and developing in a lot of different areas. They're doing things at 21, you know, 20 and 21 these last couple of years that I was doing my first year competing at the CrossFit Games. So with the way the sport's evolving, you know, it's incredible what they're doing already at such a young age. They started at 11 years old. So they're that next generation of CrossFitters, I think, that you're going to see that when they get into their mid-20s and late 20s and you get that man strength. They already have man strength. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying, but when they get to that point, I really think that you know, they're going to take over and hopefully continue on the Panchik legacy.
Let's say next year, all three of you make it to the game.
That's the goal. Absolutely. 100%.
Who's your dad rooting for?
My dad's hoping for a three-way tie on the top of the podium. No, I think honestly, he would just be excited to see us all there. And I think he gets his probably the most enjoyment out of seeing us train day in, day out. And I've told Saxon and Spencer that. I said, it's not just about the outcome of first place, second place, where you stood against all the other people in the world. I said, what I remember the most out of competing year after year are the training days with you guys leading up to competition. And, you know, those are the memories that stick out to me the most. Yes, there's some incredible things that happened at the CrossFit Games, at regionals. This past year, I got to share a moment with Saxon, which was pretty incredible. We both were coming through pretty close in one of the final event, not the final event. I was on the final day, the first event, the ring muscle ups and overhead squats. And they were going back. We were going back and forth to win the event. And he ended up edging me out right at the end. And it was just a cool moment. He was standing on my finishing mat and I came through and, you know, we bro'd out and could bro hug. And it was just exciting. It was like one of those moments where you're just like, I was so proud of him. I wasn't upset that I was beat by him. I was just proud of him. And I told him, like, these are the moments that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. It's not going to be what place you took. It's not going to be anything else. And I think that's my job. That's like part of my responsibility working with these guys on a regular basis, is to keep them healthy, keep CrossFit fun, and really just help them grow and understand what the sport is about. And that, you know, it will consume you if you let it. And I don't want their life through their 20s to be these blue walls at CrossFit mentality. I said, go out.
It's a nice blue color.
It is. That's the goal. I want to make it nice, but I don't want them to be trapped in these blue walls and look back on their life and say, I wish I would have done this or done that. So we're always pushing one another to go out and do other things and be involved in the community and other career choices. Yeah. Spencer's working towards becoming a firefighter and EMT. He started that last year. And it's a process. We're kind of figuring out what that next step is. Okay. And that's kind of the role I play with them. I feel is not just a coach and a training partner, but an older brother, just guiding them in the right direction.
Do you think you would have been as close to them without CrossFit? You guys would have gotten as close?
So I don't think so. No, I think CrossFit really brought us all together as a family. My dad introduced me to CrossFit back in 2009.
Okay.
And I was playing football at the University of Mount Union, and my dad's talking big about this training program. Yeah. It's like, you got to go on this. It's CrossFit.com. It's amazing. They post a workout every day. And I've been doing it with my buddy at the YMCA. He's like, when you come home, we got to do it. So I came home and he took me through a workout. It's Fight Gone Bad. And it just murdered me. I remember just laying on the ground in the in the weight room, just looking up at the lights. Like, what just happened? But I was hooked. I was like, this is really cool. It's really fun. And then I started doing my research and trying to figure out, you know, how can I get better at this? Well, what are these movements? Okay. And started the last 2 years of my college career.
So you were still playing at Mount?
I was still playing at Mount. I've had three knee reconstructive surgeries actually from playing football.
Okay.
And I missed out my senior year because of the final one. And CrossFit really kind of saved me. It pulled me out of a kind of a dark place. I didn't think I was going to be able to compete in anything. I never accomplished all the goals that I set for myself going into college to play football. And it gave me something to push myself to be better and to compete, and kind of filled a gap in my life that was definitely missing. And when I look at my dad introducing me to the sport, I came home those last 2 years of college and my family would pack in a truck and we'd go down to CrossFit Pittsburgh mm-hmm. and we joined their community and we didn't know what the workout was going to be and see people running. They're running. We're going to run today. And get in there. And Saxon and Spencer, I think 11 years old at the time. Yeah. And we'd go down there as a family and right there, it just brought us together.
Okay.
And from then on out, we continued to grow in the sport and then I think grow together. Mm-hmm. I ended up taking a teaching position out here in Mentor. My family stayed in Pittsburgh and it was a lonely time for me here. So I found a CrossFit gym out in Beechwood and joined their community. And that was my home away from home. And mm-hmm. I just kept saying to myself, this is what I want to do. I look at,
what specifically about, I guess, CrossFit was like, I know you got hooked on it, mm-hmm. but what was it about the sport?
I didn't really look at it as a sport, I guess, at first. I looked at it as something that challenged me mm-hmm. and pushed me to be better in all areas. And because it was something that was new with gymnastics and weightlifting, and it just kept growing and evolving, I was just like, I just want to get better and mm-hmm. better. And people would post their times on the main site, and I'm just like pushing to get better at these times, to beat these like big time athletes, you know, Jason Calipo, Miko Salo, Chris Spieler. And it was just like incredible. I just remember thinking like, this is exactly what I needed. And then the community, that's really what I came for, the fitness, but I stayed because of the community mm-hmm. and the people push you to be better. Just like my training partners do now with Saxon and Spencer, they push me to be better in the gym. There's fundraisers and community events, and they get you out there and talking mm-hmm. to people. And with our society who's so tied into technology and social media and things like that, people aren't socializing. And you know, that was the one time of the day where people were, and they
put their phone down.
They put their phone down. They get together and they talk, and it's the best hour. It was the best hour of my day, mm-hmm. and I was like, I want to create that, and I want to be part of the best hour of everyone's day throughout the entire day. And I always thought that's what teaching was going to do for me. Mm-hmm. I was a health and phys ed teacher at Mentor High School for a couple of years before I embarked on this journey to open CrossFit Mentality. And the kids, they weren't as excited as I thought they would be mm-hmm. about exercising and, you know, working out and doing different.
What grades were you teaching?
I was teaching 9th grade phys ed, 10th grade health, and then I traveled and did a little teaching for phys ed, health at the middle school level as well. Okay, gotcha. And those kids were really impressionable at the middle school level.
Yeah. And I was going to say high school might be.
High school, they're kind of set on their ways and they don't want to sweat. And you know, I was very uncool for making them sweat and pushing them to breathe heavy. So, I look at it and the curriculum was tough because we had specific things that we had to teach. And what they wanted me to teach versus the things that I thought were important to just creating a well-rounded person mm-hmm. in terms of health and fitness, they were different. And being part of that community out in Beechwood really, really like kind of gave me that vision of what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was unhappy. Every day was kind of the same. It was just like I woke up, I went in and I taught, and the kids made it different every mm-hmm. day because they're unpredictable. But the job and what I was doing every day just was the monotonous same. And then I wasn't enjoying it as much as I thought I would. Mm-hmm. Which, I needed change, and I refuse to live a life where it's subpar and I'm waking up and it feels too routine mm-hmm. because in CrossFit routines.
So this is a perfect spot for you.
Exactly. So it's probably what drew me away from teaching mm-hmm. To open a gym. And luckily my family, they were extremely supportive. They relocated out mm-hmm. here. Saxon and Spencer wanted to compete and they left their senior year of high school to come out here. And they went to Mentor High School for their senior year, which that's a huge sacrifice for them. And I appreciate that. Same with the rest of my family. My parents, they left their jobs, and my dad was retired at the time, but my mom had a job out there at an organ recovery mm-hmm. center, and she loved it. So they made a lot of sacrifices to come out here and help me get CrossFit Mentality started. Once we got out here and got started, I realized that this is what I thought teaching was always going to be. Mm-hmm. And I may not be using my degree in a sense of teaching in the classroom.
But you're still teaching.
This is yeah. So it's been really cool because all the things that I learned to become a great teacher have made me a great coach. I'm still learning a lot about business, but it's allowed me to coach our coaches to be better. Mm-hmm. And just building this community here has been wonderful. The people that come in here day in and day out, they make me love my job. It does not feel like work. Kristen, my wife, and I talk about it all the time. We will spend the days in here, and it's easy to just get sucked in because you just love talking to people and working with mm-hmm. them every day. And people come in having good days and come in having bad days, but they always leave feeling better. And that's what we want to do in here is create the best hour of your day, help you with your health and fitness, and you know, create a community of that just has this bright, contagious energy that, you know, makes you feel good, makes you want to socialize, mm-hmm. and
just like the colors.
Yeah, exactly.
Bright blue. What came first? Was it your pursuit of CrossFit as an athlete or as that teacher?
Teacher in the classroom or the teacher in the gym?
Teacher in the gym. So was it CrossFit mentality as a space where you wanted to grow as a person, as a teacher or coach first, or was it, I'm really getting good at CrossFit?
I think it was a combination of both, to be honest. I think at first it was a little bit of the competitive mm-hmm. Side of CrossFit where I wanted to compete, and I went and competed my first year in 2012, and I took fourth at the games. I was like, this is amazing.
So the first year competed, you did?
Yeah, I took fourth.
You did pretty well.
Yeah.
Just an understatement. Yeah.
I did well. It was one of my best
Mike
years.
Mike Trapp.
It definitely was a good year. And I came back, and I was excited and hungry. And I was like, fourth place, that's, you know, not far from the top of the podium. And
yeah.
I wanted to accomplish that. So I, you know, that was one of my personal goals. And then I looked at, you know, other goals as well as, you know, what do I want to accomplish in a career? Mm-hmm. CrossFit as an athlete, I mean, that's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a decision is like, do you see yourself as a teacher? Do you see yourself as a gym owner? Do you see yourself as an athlete? And how can you incorporate, you know, all the things that you're looking for in life and start pursuing them each and every day. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that needed to happen all at once. And I think that's a, you know, problem a lot of people make when they come into the gym is they want everything to happen right away. And it's not going to happen that way. But what I have found is, you know, by setting out and doing little things every day to make myself better as an athlete, as a gym owner, and, you know, that's led me to where I am today. Yes, I wanted to push myself mm-hmm. from a competitive standpoint, but at the same time, I'm like, how else can I push myself? What else can I be doing that's not only going to make me a better athlete, but what's your backup plan? It's mm-hmm. always like, what are you going to do with that? So, you know, being a gym owner made sense because it gave me the opportunity to train during the day when most people are at work. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, when people are coming in from work, I'm done training and I can focus on them. So it allows me to do something for me, but it also allows me to do something for the community here at CrossFit Mentality to make them better and to share my experiences and my journey and the things that I'm learning with them.
Okay. Do you think you would have, similar question as before, do you think you would have been as successful as an athlete if you did not pursue opening CrossFit Mentality?
It would have been a lot more challenging.
Okay.
The sports evolved a lot. And back in 2012, I was teaching and competing mm-hmm. in CrossFit. I was also a high school football coach at Mentor, and my day was packed. I'd get up at 5:15, 5:30, and I'd get home at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it just felt like one day was mm-hmm. just running right into the next. My training was packed into one session, and with the way the sport's evolving, you know, getting multiple sessions in throughout the day and having some time to rest and recover and do some other things, that's been really helpful for me to grow as an athlete. And that's a lot like what regionals in the CrossFit mm-hmm. Games is like, is you need to be able to move intensely through workouts multiple times a day. And I don't train like that year round, but When it is time to train that way, if you had to do everything in one session, you're not going to have that intensity, and it makes it more challenging. I don't want to say it couldn't be done, because there are people that are working other jobs and doing, you know, CrossFit and being competitors, and they're doing extremely well at it. I think it'd be more challenging.
Okay.
I definitely have a big respect for anybody that is doing that. Being in here day in and day out allows me to, you know, work out and then step back into the gym and do some things and then work out and then step back in. So that has made things easier for me and made me a better athlete, and the people around me also, just from our coaches and my family, they've been a big part in allowing me to continue chasing my dream to stand on top of the podium. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do this.
So speaking of that, great segue, Scott. Thank you for that. you know, why have you been able to? Because you're like the OG, one of the OGs now.
Me and Ben Smith, I think, are the two left. Josh Bridges
too. Yeah, there's only a few CrossFit Games athletes that kind of keep coming back year after year.
Mm-hmm.
Like again, handful. Why have you been able to be one of those guys or gals?
Yeah, I really think it comes down to my training. I've learned to train just smarter, not harder, and focusing on my weaknesses. A lot of people avoid their weaknesses.
What are those?
My weaknesses? Yeah. For me, running longer distances has always been a struggle. I was a running back at Mount Union, so sprints,
I was gonna say,
dash, shuttle run, left to right, lateral movement, anything over 100 yards. I'm not very used to running. Okay. So the endurance side of things with longer bikes, longer runs, swimming. I swam a little when I was a kid, but that's something that I'm still trying to develop. And I didn't really play it as a sport in middle school or high school. So some of those guys that come in with those backgrounds, it'd be like them stepping onto a football field and trying to do what I did. So those areas I'm always focusing on. And then bounding, just any type of jumping tied in with any other movements is sometimes challenging for me as well. I had a foot injury back in 2015 that partially ruptured my plantar fascia in my foot. So that's made things the last 2 years very difficult for me to improve my running. I have to watch the amount of jumping and bounding as well as running outside that I do to avoid re-injuring that. So just understanding my body and continuing to figure out ways to improve in those areas without overdoing it, and listening to my body and not being stubborn and not letting my ego get in the way. Yeah. We have a rule actually in the gym with my brothers that if you miss more than two times, you're done, like on a heavy lift, because nothing good comes after misses. It's always that third lift or the fourth or, you know, that has led to a major injury or setback. So we've established rules and guidelines and things to hold each other accountable to keep us safe and healthy. And I'll talk to my brothers about workouts that I write. Hey, does this, you know, look doable? And there are times I write things that are kind of crazy, and they're like, hey, I think that's a little over the top. So I think having people around you that hold you accountable for keeping you healthy. Kristen, my wife, was a runner and cross country coach. So she's been doing my running.
I was actually, sorry, I was watching one of your older videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
When you guys did the run for a few years back. That was.
Yeah, so she's helped me a lot in that area. And I think that's been a huge key to improving in just all areas of my fitness is just surrounding myself with those people that you know, have something unique to bring to the party, I guess. Okay.
You seem very laid back.
Yeah.
How do you, and we had the fortune of speaking with some, you know, past CrossFit Games competitors as well. And they all kind of have a different vibe. Like, for example, Jason Kalipa's very kind of getting after it, you know.
Yeah.
Very, you know.
Animated.
Intense. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You seem to be like the yin to his yang, or like either way you look at it. How do you I guess approach the games or even regionals or the open?
It's one step at a time. I don't look past what's next.
Okay.
So right now, We're working towards the Open. Mm-hmm. The Open is the first stage of competing, and we got to focus on improving just in the things that we would expect to see there. Okay. And I think a lot of the times athletes will look at what they are doing at the games, mm-hmm. and they're like, I need to be able to snatch 300 pounds, or I need to be able to run a 5-minute mile, or whatever they see on TV. And that's not the case. It's like, hey, let's improve our metabolic conditioning through wall balls and rowing and mm-hmm. burpees and the simple movements. The simple movements are what gets you to the next stage.
Okay.
And then the next stage at regionals, you're going to be tested on some heavier weightlifting, some higher skill gymnastics. And then as you get to the games, you'll start to see the running and the odd objects and things that are a little less traditional in mm-hmm. a sense of CrossFit. So I think just understanding what your priorities are at that time and what you're training for. The Open's one workout a week. You don't have to have this crazy capacity to do one workout a week with a lot of intensity. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that motto of, you know, intensity over volume.
Okay.
And people will think that they need to do more. Well, it's not necessarily I need to do more. I just need to bring more to the workouts mm-hmm. that I am doing. And I think that if you can do that, you're going to improve your performance in the Open. And then once you start getting close to making out of the Open, then it's time to start working on, okay, I need to build a little more strength. Mm-hmm. I need to be prepared for some of the tasks that I could see at regionals. And then as you get to regionals for the first time, you're going to get some experience competing outside of your gym, which is huge. And I think that prepares you for the games. And it's usually a process. I was fortunate. I came in back in 2012 as it was starting to grow and mm-hmm. develop. And I think if I was to come in as the athlete I was then in this generation, 2017, I get my butt kicked. But that's just the way the sport's changing and evolving. And it's because of these conversations that we're having right mm-hmm. now, as people are understanding, okay, this is what I need to do to get out of the Open and get to the regionals and then, you know, get to the games. It's a very, very small percentage of people that go to the games.
Yeah.
And setting realistic goals is really important. I can't go to the games before I win a local competition. Mm-hmm. I can't go to the games before I make it out of the Open. So it's like setting achievable goals that set me up to get to the games. I'm not saying that you can't go to the games, but it is a very, very challenging yeah. task. And if that is your goal, then we need to take small steps to get there. It's not just something that's going to happen in 1 year.
Okay. One final question before I take a quick break.
Yeah.
A lot has been said about the amount of work that you guys do at the games
yep.
in a very short amount of time versus, let's say, you just mentioned the Open, right?
Right.
One workout per week.
Yep.
Now you have 25 workouts in 2 days.
Yeah.
Slightly exaggerated. How do you build the capacity to be able to handle that kind of amount of work and intensity?
Right.
And
load? Absolutely. So the CrossFit Games, I would say, averages somewhere around 15 events mm-hmm. over the course yeah. of anywhere from 3 to 5 days. And that's a lot. I don't train like that daily. And there are some athletes that are working towards, you know, training like that on a regular basis, and they don't take rest days. I take rest days. I typically train 3 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 1 day off. And that's been really beneficial for me as an athlete just to stay healthy. As a college football player, I have some, you know, pre-existing injuries and things that I have to be careful of. And everyone has a different work capacity. And some people do need to do more, and others can get away with doing less. But it's about figuring out what works for you, what mm-hmm. what keeps you healthy. If you're healthy, you're competing well. If you're beat up all the time and you're injured, you're not making gains. You're just kind of standing still. And if you're standing still in this sport, you're not going to qualify.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, as I get closer to the CrossFit Games, I'll start adding volume in. Mm-hmm. And that means starting my day a little earlier, setting breaks, and it being my main priority. In previous years, I wasn't able to do that. But with the way the sport's evolved, I need to be able to do that now. So leading up to the games, I'll come in and I'll train in the morning. I'll try to get out of the gym, eat, rest, sleep. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize how much sleep these athletes are getting on a regular basis. Like, I sleep 8 to 9 hours a night. And Sometimes more than that. I sleep until I feel recovered.
Naps? Any naps?
I don't really nap anymore. I used to nap when I was teaching, and I wasn't getting that amount of sleep. Okay. So I think if you're not getting, you know, 8 to 9 hours of sleep, then yeah, you should you should try to get some naps in. But that recovery is just essential. And starting to add that volume and intensity in leading up to the games is important because it's preparing you for what is to come.
Okay.
And I think that's something that you can simulate leading up, but I think you can easily burn out trying to do it year round.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Be right back with Scott.
All right.
There are a number of things I am not good at. Surfing, statistics, accounting, WordPress, and my split jerk needs some work. These are a few that come to mind right away. What I am good at, though, is knowing what I am not good at and knowing when to stop to try to figure things out on my own, ask for help, and list those that are much more knowledgeable. While working on multiple projects, coaching, self-development, and training, aka getting jacked and Sopel, my time is the most valuable commodity, so I need to be efficient with how I dedicate it. Which brings me to Ceteris. As a health and fitness entrepreneur, dealing with your finances, accounting, and tax preparation can be a headache. March and April are not my most fun months of the year. Ceteris specializes in accounting for health and fitness businesses and takes care of all that work for you. For you. So you can focus on the things that you need to focus on, like programming for your clients or taking your next certification. While giving you full access through your financial data and benchmark reporting through their platform, Ceteris Edge, which is built on top of QuickBooks Online. While they offer tax accounting, many of their customers also retain their current CPA and use Ceteris for month-to-month accounting and benchmark reporting, which their CPAs also love. To learn more about Ceteris Fitness Business Accounting and Benchmark Reporting Solution, please visit www.ceteris.com/uncharted performance. If you sign up through our podcast, you will get 50% off your first 2 months. We'll include that link in the show notes. So if you're listening on the go, make sure to jump to our website and this episode. Key benefits of Ceteris. Do it for me. Your accounting and bookkeeping should be done for you by a team of experts who know accounting for your business inside and out. Benchmark reporting. Small business entrepreneurs can operate better business when they can compare their financial performance against peers in their industry. Ceteris provides peer benchmarking with franchise brands to optimize entrepreneurs' insights. A team, not a person. With a team of experts behind you, you should never worry about what happens if your accountant goes on vacation. Industry-specific expertise. Your accountant should specialize in businesses like yours to ensure that they know how to optimally code and categorize your transactions. Professional response time. A dedicated point of contact will respond to emails and requests within 24 hours. Cloud-based, your accounting should be kept up to date securely in the cloud. No risk of losing data, no sending large files back and forth, and you can access your financials anywhere, anytime. And for us on the go, mobile entrepreneurs are on the move, having the most critical information on the health of their business in the palm of their hand allows for better and faster decision making. So get back doing to and focusing on the things that drive you and your passion, and get help with all that fuzzy math stuff. Again, link is www.ceteris.com/uncharted performance. And now back to the show.
Cool. We are back at CrossFit Mentality after that
round two,
the short commercial break. It is actually a beautiful day today. It is what, early October now?
Yeah.
And it's like 80 degrees right now.
Yeah. It doesn't get much better than that here in Cleveland.
Yeah. So we have a long summer. I don't know why I brought that up, but just looking outside. It's always nice when you can open the doors at the gym.
So if it's not, the sun is not shining today, it is here.
It is.
This moment.
Exactly, exactly. What is the worst thing about being a CrossFit athlete? Because I think we just kind of talked about that, maybe.
The worst thing?
If there is a bad thing about being a CrossFit athlete.
I think if I had to pick one thing that I don't like is that it consumes you a little bit, and it's hard to disconnect. And that's something that my wife has really helped me with over the years, is just, putting your phone down during the open, not worrying about the leaderboard, and just getting away from the gym and spending some time together. And I think that that's the hardest part, is you know, when you're dealing with stress from injuries to loss, losing a workout, the game's not going the way you wanted it to be, between good events and bad events, just that adversity gets tough and it plays mind games with you.
How do you respond to that? Because you've been at that level for a while now.
I think what helped me the most with responding to adversity is just, you know, as a young athlete, I was that kid that just got hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd work my butt off in the off season, and I was always like the best at working out, and I was talented and very good at a lot of sports, but I would always end up getting hurt during the season, and it prevented me from having a lot of moments in mm-hmm. those sports growing up. And I think handling that adversity and understanding how to overcome that, as well as just working hard day in and day out, and just kind of like looking at the glasses half full rather than half empty, and the situation could always be mm-hmm. worse, has helped me. You know, it helps me move from one event to another. I was a wrestler, and I think if there's any sport that correlates to CrossFit, it's wrestling. It's just in a wrestling match, it's you and one other guy, and you lose. It's just like you got kicked in the stomach. It's like a big shot to your ego, and you feel like less of a man. And that was so hard in between wrestling matches and tournaments, where you'd lose a match and you'd have to go out and wrestle someone else again. Mm-hmm. So you had to get over it very quickly, or you'd go out and get your face wiped in the mat two times in a row in one day, and you didn't want that. So I think just having that short-term memory, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to struggle with losing. I don't think anyone ever gets used to losing, but you can't sit and dwell on it for long. The longer you let it sit and marinate, the more it starts to play head games mm-hmm. with you. And I think if you can, you know, take it as an opportunity to learn and grow, and then forget about it and move forward, you're going to be successful in the next event or the whatever's next in your life. And I think that goes for everything in life. You got to have short-term memory. You can't dwell on the past and the way things should have been or could have went. The people that do that, they don't end up as successful as the ones who are able to get over it and learn from it and
do
better.
Still do that at times?
And it's hard. It's hard to get over certain things.
Yeah. So what do you do in that moment or that?
I'll give you an example. Thought, yeah. So this year at the CrossFit Games, I went into the final day. I was sitting really well in the standings. I had a great Saturday and climbed my way back up the leaderboard, and Sunday morning's always like some type of endurance mm-hmm. event, and my legs were just trashed from the thrusters and double unders the night before, and we had to do hay bales, jumping, and running and then there was an odd object in there with a they call it like a sandbag clean over top of the hay bale, which if you don't know what CrossFit is, that's just sounds like a foreign language. But this event, I went out and did this event, and I got crushed, and I thought I was doing well at the beginning. I thought I was pacing it out well, and then I just started to see more and more people passing me, and it was like something I'd worked so hard on, running specifically, but I don't think I did enough running with other exercises. Okay. I was always isolating my running, so I think that was something I took away from it, mm-hmm. is like, okay, how can I avoid this from happening again, and how do I avoid feeling the way I felt at the games? And you know, that'll be something that I incorporate in my training leading up. But following that event, it knocked me down the leaderboard a couple places, and I think we had one or two events to go, and it was going to go one of two ways. Yeah. It's like, hey, you can deal with it, look at these next two events, put your head down and fight, or you can feel sorry for yourself and let it affect your next two workouts. And I wasn't going to let that happen. So, I sat and thought about it, and what could I have done different? And there wasn't anything. I did the best I could. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like that at the games, where I've walked away from events, and even if I did well or it did not go as well as I thought, I've always walked away knowing I put everything I had into it. And that's all you can really do. If you know that you put everything you had into it, there's nothing else that can be done. You weren't prepared. Mm-hmm. and the games is meant to expose you in certain areas. And I got exposed in that event. But leading into this upcoming year, my goal is to not let that happen again. Mm-hmm. So you take these experiences and you learn from them, and you pull different things out, and it teaches you to be stronger and mentally tougher in the moment. And then you come back and you evaluate your performance and you look at those things and you're like, how can I avoid these things from happening mm-hmm. again? So it's really just a mindset when it comes to those things.
Any advice for people that might not be, I guess, as well equipped or as experienced as you are doing that? Like a first step type of thing?
The first step is just being okay with, I'm trying to think of a good step. Let me rewind.
Because to me, it sounded like, hey, I'm actually, I'm recognizing what just happened, right? And it's not the end of the world type of thing.
Right. And I think in CrossFit, there's so many different components of fitness that you have to understand that you are going to be exposed in those areas. And mm-hmm. that's what the test is for. The test is meant to break you. It's meant to find it's meant to find the fittest person on earth.
At least so that might be the first step, realizing what the test is.
Yeah,
right?
Realizing what the test is. Like, it very rarely does anyone come in and just walk through every event and not have to handle some type of adversity. And I think the best advice I ever gave anyone in this area is that something will go wrong when you're competing at some point, whether it's a bad call, a no rep, we call it red line when you come out too fast yeah. in a workout, something will go wrong. But what you can control is how you handle the situation. Like, what are you going to do in the moment things go wrong? Mm-hmm. And in the moment when I was doing the hay bale event, I started getting passed. And I knew that each person that passed me could play a role in where my placing was at the end of the weekend. So I wasn't looking at it as, I need to win this event. I was looking at it as like, hey, I'm going to do, like, you're getting your butt kicked, but you can still beat these two guys. Mm-hmm. So it's like finding something that's positive to pull from the situation. And there were a couple guys that I did end up beating in that event mm-hmm. that could potentially at the end of the weekend bump me up a place or drop me down a place. And I think at the end of the weekend, the point spread was 8 points.
Yeah, that was fourth. I was talking to Chad about that.
And
that's
pretty intense. And that's the type of stuff I'm talking yeah. about, is like, in the moment, how will you respond to adversity? Like, how are you going? Like, are you going to step forward? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to push? Are you going to not give in to that? Because mm-hmm. it would have been very easy for me to feel sorry for myself and look to make excuses. Oh, my legs are hurting. And then mm-hmm. you start thinking in your head, you're like, oh, am I really fit? And you go to this negative mindset, and you need to have that positive self-talk. And it's like, okay, let's just catch this one person in front of me. Mm-hmm. That's it. Catch that one person by the time you're done. Oh, I passed him before the last round. Okay, let's get one more. And it's setting those small achievable goals. I was listening to a guy talking on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and he had this saying. When things get hard, it was like, looking good, feeling good, ought to be in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's incredible. I just want to share that with the world. And I found myself in workouts and hearing things get tough. I'm like, looking good, feeling good, in Hollywood, looking good, feeling good, ought to be in Hollywood. And it's just like having that mindset. It's like, I'm taking a moment where I'm at my weakest and things are so incredibly hard for me right now. But what do I need to do to be better in that moment? Mm-hmm. And it could be something as simple as, talking to myself, yeah. looking good, feeling good in Hollywood. And, or, hey, I'm going to catch that guy in front of me. I'm going to catch that guy in front of me. And it's not, oh my God, I wasn't prepared for this. My legs are hurting from the night before. This guy up here, he's been running all year long. He's got a running background. And you'll find any reason to feel sorry for yourself in a moment when something's going wrong. Most people,
yeah.
But the people that are successful in what they do, they do the opposite. They find something positive to think about and something that's going to allow them to kind of pull themselves forward or pull themselves out of that hole and achieve something. And it could be so small. Like I said, it could be just passing that one person yeah. that's ahead of you. And it may not mean a lot in your placing for the event, but it means so much more to you as a person and you as an athlete and the way your weekend's mm-hmm. going to kind of shake out and finish. Okay. And I think that a lot of the times people don't realize that, and they fall into that negative state of mind, and then they end up finishing the event and there was nothing positive that came from the event. Mm-hmm. Even though they lost, and even though I lost and got my butt kicked in that event, I still found a moment in there that I accepted a challenge and I won that challenge by passing one or two more people in the event. Yes, I got my butt kicked, mm-hmm. but there was still hope and there was still drive, and that made me want to come back in the next two events and push. And you could correlate that to anything in life.
Yeah.
Find something positive, use it to move forward.
What have you learned the most about yourself? What's been the kind of like the biggest aha moment in the past six CrossFit Games, or since you started CrossFitting? Since you took on this journey of, hey, I'm going to compete, I'm going to open a gym.
That's a really good question. I think it's just becoming better in all areas of fitness. And I know that's like extremely broad, but you know, when I started CrossFit, I you know, looked at things and then I'm just like, okay, I want to snatch this, I want to clean and jerk this, and you find these like goals and things that you consider as like measurable to be the best at it. And that's changed so much. Every year, it's just being the ante's being upped. And you know, what was the standard in CrossFit in 2012 is, you know, not
now. Yeah.
And I just can't believe how much the sport's evolved. And I'll give you an example. So like 2013, we did 30 burpee muscle ups for a time. And 30 muscle ups has like always been like the standard in CrossFit. This past year we did 45. And it's like you're constantly working to be one step ahead of what, like where the sport's going. And I think that's something that we do really well here is preparing for those things. Dumbbells we saw for the first time this year is like, you should be training with dumbbells. That's a great training tool. So incorporating those before it's actually there. So you're training for what's to come today. And just with how much the sport's evolved, I think that's what's really blown me away. I think out of everything.
Okay. If you can put your Nostradamus hat on, what do you think is coming next? Where do you think the sport's going?
That's a great
question. What are going to be the dumbbells of 2018?
These are the hardest two questions.
They're going to get easier after this.
Okay. That's good. I think that we're going to continue seeing dumbbells. We're going to continue seeing those kind of, I guess you can call them odd objects.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They correlate more to everyday life than anything else that we do. We did sandbag cleans in regionals this year. Sandbag clean is picking a bag of sand from the ground and putting it on your shoulder. It's no different than picking up a laundry basket, your kid. And I think what they're doing is they're taking challenging exercises that we can be tested with, and they want to show a direct correlation to from those movements to what we do every day in life. So when people look at the sport, they're like, I could do that. And I think that that is a great step for building our affiliates. You know, CrossFit is accessible to any determined individual regardless of age or experience, and I think they want to display that. So I think when the open, you're going to see dumbbells again at some point. You'll see at least one of those workouts, I think, will be the repeat workout. And they're going to want to see, did we improve from one year to the next? Have affiliates been incorporating dumbbells into their training? And they do that from time to time, is they take workouts and movements and they repeat them one year after another. We did the pegboard one year at the games, then we did it again. We did Murph at the games, and we did it again. And they want to see that improvement over time. So I think we're going to continue to see those types of tests that correlate to movements that are accessible to everyone. And I think the most accessible movements are going to be the most important movements for us as athletes to be great at right now. I told my younger brothers at the Granite Games, I said, everyone can run everyone can do burpees. Everyone can do box jumps, double unders. I said, write down a list of all the movements that you know that everybody can do. And these are the movements that we have to be exceptional at. Mm-hmm. You can't just be good at these movements, because that's going to be the biggest point difference in getting out of the open or getting out of regionals or the games. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why running, you go to the games, everyone's great at running. So that's a movement that I need to be great at, and I need to be, better than a lot of other people, because if I'm not, that shoots me down the leaderboard. They did 7 minutes of burpees in 1 year.
Yeah.
Everybody can do a burpee. That's just willingness to be uncomfortable in a moment.
Or seven
minutes. But I think those movements that are accessible to everyone, I think those are the most important movements to focus on. Because as the sport continues to evolve, the high-skilled movements will always separate people. But if you want to be at the top of the leaderboard and doing extremely well, mm-hmm. you need to be exceptional at those movements. Yeah.
Seeing like the obstacle race, and my favorite, the strongman.
That's my favorite too. Not just because I took third, and it was one of my best events. But
it seems like CrossFit is adding those odd implements, but also incorporating multiple planes of motion, right?
Yeah.
I think if you look back, as an outsider, kind of, audience at home looking at the games or watching the games, it was always kind of forward and back.
Yep.
Now we're kind of moving all around.
Yeah. And I think they want to display fitness the way that people will see it, I guess. Mm-hmm. You see like American Ninja Warrior, yeah. and then you do an obstacle course. You see the strong men doing, farmer's carries and yoke carries, and then you see the strong man's fear, and then they're kicking up on their hands and doing hands.
Yeah.
So I think that when they incorporate those types of things, especially with like the heavy lifting at the games, where we get one or two attempts on a snatch or a clean and jerk, they're displaying this broad sense of these guys can run, they can lift, they can do strongman, they can do gymnastics, mm-hmm. and they want to show this like perfect
human specimen.
Yeah, for sure.
So if we ever have to go to battle, we're just gonna pluck out of the CrossFit field.
Yeah, that's where the draft begins.
Yeah. All right, these are gonna get easier. These are gonna be like kind of rapid fire questions.
Okay.
It's not really rapid fire questions. I just want you to tell me the first word that comes to mind.
Okay.
When I say these words or anything.
Got okay. it.
Kristen.
Present.
Saxon.
Do you want me to explain those?
Let's go back.
Okay.
All right. First, we'll go. I don't want you to overthink it. I don't want you to go through it first.
All right.
Saxon.
Passionate.
Spencer.
He's my guy.
That's more than one
All right,
word.
Guy.
CrossFit mentality.
Community.
Cleveland.
Tribe.
Good timing. Madison.
Wisconsin.
2018.
Podium finish.
Okay. I'll let you get away with that one. And then 2030.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be one word. Yeah. Jeez, oh, man.
We'll say podium.
Podium.
2030.
Oh, man. 2030. Retired.
All right. So let's take it back. I think some of the last few are kind of self-explanatory, but let's go back to Kristen.
Kristen, I said present. She's my rock. I mean, she is there for me every step of the way, in the gym, outside of the gym, in life. She brings presence to everything that we're about here at CrossFit Mentality, and she's always listening. She's caring, compassionate, and just someone that you can count on no matter what.
Okay, so without Kristen, there is no Scott Panchik.
Truth.
What's the future hold?
For us?
Yeah, for you and CrossFit Mentality. Near future and long term.
Okay, so near future, we're actually looking to expand here in the gym. We're going to go over a unit and okay. starting to grow. And
here at the same location?
Yeah, same okay. location. We're starting to outgrow the space a little bit in the evening. So,
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good problem to have. Yeah. So we're going to go over another unit here in the next couple months and look to expand this location. And I think in the near future, we'd like to open up another location somewhere. We're not really sure where, okay. but
under the same name?
I don't think
similar.
Yeah, similar name. I don't think you can keep the same affiliate, but we'd like to figure something out.
Like there. CrossFit Mentality North or something.
Yes. Yeah. If they'll let us do that, absolutely. That'd be cool.
Okay. And long term.
Long term?
Yeah.
I just
beyond
want,
that.
You know,
before retirement and after you open your second location and before retirement.
So I think kids, I'm excited to be a dad. Chris and I have talked about it, and I think in the near future we'll be, you know, looking to start our family, and I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun to take my kids through you know, CrossFit Kids
classes. I was gonna ask you,
are kids classes and different, get them involved in different sports and coach them.
Okay.
And I think that's the next step for me, at least.
Okay.
I think when I'm done competing, that'll be when that happens.
Do you want
they'll be my priority.
Oh, do you want them to be CrossFitters?
I want them to be whatever they want to be.
Okay.
I'm obviously gonna expose them to fitness. Mm-hmm. I want them to exercise.
Okay.
What they do from there on out is totally up to them. Mm-hmm. And I support whatever that is. But I do want to get them involved in sports and CrossFit and just really, show them what fitness is and expose them to a lot of different things so they can make that decision. Because I think the longer you wait to decide and, to get your kids involved in those things, the harder it is for them to take that step to wanting to do that. But if they're exposed to it at a young age, it's natural. It's easy. And I think with technology the way it is, I want to ensure that my kids, you know, are playing in the yard and riding their bikes and mm-hmm. active and not sitting in front of video games. That's not going to be an option.
Okay. All right. So you also have you're also working on an event down here in Cleveland?
Yes, we're working on an event. It's called the Winter Classic. It's going to be at the IX Center in Cleveland, and a lot of the fitness community will be there. It's a huge fitness expo. They're doing a cheerleading competition, cooking shows. I think it's like a karate competition. Mm-hmm. There'll be a lot of vendors coming in from all areas of the fitness community. And then we're going to put on a fitness event there where we display different movements that we do every day here at CrossFit Mentality. And people will be able to come in and try those movements. And there's three workouts. They're hero workouts, but you don't have to do all three of them. You can pick and choose which workout you want to do. And it's partner style. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have prizes set up. Cash prizes for first, and then sponsored prizes from there on out.
All right, very cool. For some reason, we're very popular in Kenya or just abroad. So if we have fans of Uncharted, or just fans of probably more so you than us,
yeah,
they want to come train with you. They want to drop in, visit. They want to take a holiday, and for some reason, they want to come to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where is CrossFit Mentality located?
We're about 20 miles east of Cleveland.
Downtown or just... like proper, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay. We'll link it up.
Yeah. 40 minutes from the airport. I do know that.
There you go. Okay. So, social media.
Social media. I have an Instagram, Scott Panchik.
Yeah.
Same for Twitter, Scott Panchik. And then I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
That's with my name as well.
Very cool. So guys, make sure to check out the show notes. As always, Scott, thank you very much for your time. Really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Got it. Thank you.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram @UnchartedPerformance, and if Twitter is your thing, @ReachUncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.